Good afternoon. My name is Simon, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the SNC-Lavalin second quarter 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Denis Jasmin, Vice President, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I trust that you have received a copy of the second quarter results, as well as the PowerPoint presentation to guide you through today's call. You can access both documents in the Investor Relations section of our website at smclavalin.com. During today's conference call, Pierre Duhem, President and Chief Executive Officer, will highlight the second quarter results, and Gilles Deramin, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will review the company's financial performance in greater detail. Following their presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide number 3, certain statements made in this presentation may be forward-looking. Such comments represent management's best judgment and expectations as at today's date, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Pierre Duhem.
Thank you, Denis, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us again this afternoon. Before I focus on the specific details, let me start by saying that we are pleased with our result for the first half of the year. In a still challenging market, our net income increased and our net cash positions remain solid. Following a fair number of contracts awarded in recent months, our backlog is increasing. With the worst of the recessions in Canada behind us, we see good opportunities for major projects here and internationally. And we now expect that our 2010 net income will be higher than 2009. That being said, let's look at the presentation slide in detail. As highlighted on slide number 4, net income for the second quarter of 2010 was $97.7 million compared to $80 million for the second quarter of 2009, reflecting a higher operating income from the infrastructure concession investment and chemical and petroleum segment, partly offset by a lower operating income in the mining and metals groups as well as infrastructure and environmental segment. Net income for the 6 month period and July 30, 2010 increased by 7.7% to $169.6 million compared to the corresponding period of 2009. The net income from ICI was $29 million, higher than last year, mainly due to higher net income from AltaLink and Highway 407, and from the power plant in Algeria, which stopped operation in the second half of 2009. Net income, excluding ICI, was lower than last year, mainly due to a lower operating income in the mining and metals and infrastructure and environmental segment, while the chemical and petroleum and operation and maintenance segment have generated higher operating income. As you can see on slide number 5, revenue for the six-month period ended June 30, 2010, were $2.8 billion compared to $3.1 billion for the same period in 2009. This revenue decrease, which affected us mainly in the first quarter of this year, is mostly due to lower revenue from service and packages activity. We continue to expect our 2010 revenue to be higher in the second half of the year compared to the corresponding period in 2009, mainly due to expected higher package revenue. We are currently achieving good progress on our major projects in line with our forecasts. The company's balance sheet positions remain solid with cash and cash equivalents of $1.1 billion at June 30, 2010. Subsequent to the quarter end, actually, in fact, this week, we conclude an agreement with GE to dispose of SNC-Lavalin Energy's control system asset. These systems help utilities manage generating stations high voltage transmission network, and medium and low voltage distribution network. The transaction is expected to generate a gain after tax of approximately $20 million, which will be included in the company result for the third quarter. The sale is positive for both company and for the employee as well. G Infrastructures will give energy control system employees new opportunity for growth, while SNC-Lavalin's Global Power Group will continue to focus on its core business, providing engineering, procurement, constructions, and project management services for all product power lines. The disposal of these assets has no significant impact on the company's future revenue. Now, turning to slide number 6, the company total revenue backlog for the four revenue category, service, packages, operation and maintenance, and ICI, remains strong at $11.4 billion at the end of June 2010, in line with the end of March 2010 and compared to $10.8 billion at the end of December 2009. During the second quarter, we were awarded several services and package contracts in different sectors and countries, which, again, reflect SNC-Lavalin's revenue diversity. The service contract we were awarded bode well for us for the second half of this year, and more importantly, for 2011, as do the package contract. It is also important to note that the June 2010 revenue backlog amount does not include the $1.6 billion McGill University Health Center package contract would be. As you can see on slide number 7, in July 2010, SNC-Lavalin and the McGill University Health Center announced the financial closure and official signing of a partnership agreement between the McGill University Health Center and the McGill Health Infrastructure Group, composed of SNC-Lavalin and Innisfree Limited, for the new Glen campus. Under this 34-year public-private partnership, the McGill Health Infrastructure Group will design, build, finance, and maintain the McGill University Health Center in Montreal, Canada. Also, in July 2010, McGill Health Infrastructure Group awarded SNC-Lavalin an EPC contract for approximately $1.6 billion to design and build the facility. Construction is already underway and should be completed in the autumn of 2014. Once completed, McGill Health Infrastructure Group will maintain the campus for the next 30 years. The package revenue related to the EPC contract will be included in the company backlog in the third quarter of 2010. Another important highlight for ICI was the press release issued by Intel on July 15, 2010, following a proposal from Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board. They submitted an indicative, non-binding, and conditional proposal to acquire the entire issued capital of Intel, which owned 30% of Highway 407. Based on the price of this proposal, our 17 interest in Highway 407 is valued at approximately $9.85 per SNC-Lavalin share. As you will note on slide number 8, we still have numerous opportunities in many sectors and countries. The infrastructure and environment sector continue to be a vigorous market. This group has been very active, and we have seen the result recently with major announcements such as the McGill University Health Center in Montreal, the Princess Margaret Bridge in Fredericton, expressways in Winnipeg and Calgary, and district cooling facility in Saudi Arabia. They continue to be very active, looking at worldwide opportunities, particularly for bridges, buildings, hospitals, mass transit system, roads, and water treatment and distribution facility. In the power sector, we are currently seeing an increase in activities. We are looking at many opportunities in North America and internationally. We continue to see prospects for new hydro and thermal power generation projects, as well as for upgraded and new transmission and distribution systems. On the nuclear side, we continue to pursue opportunities for upgrade, mainly in Canada. As for the AECL file, It is progressing, and we continue to follow the process closely as an interested acquirer. The chemical and petroleum group continue to pursue many opportunities. We see a resumption of activities, particularly in Canada and in the Middle East. We are currently bidding on major prospects both in Canada and in Saudi Arabia. There are also opportunities in Africa, Russia, and South America. The mining and metallurgy sector is seeing a resurgence of activities such as the S11D project in Brazil for Vale, which should lead to more projects by the end of the year. We are targeting numerous opportunities worldwide, particularly in aluminum, copper, gold, iron ore, and potash. Brazil, Chile, and Peru are still strong markets for us, as are Africa, Australia, and Canada. Our operation and maintenance group continue to pursue new projects with our engineering and construction division and to develop its traditional market as well as new markets, such as camp management, mainly in Canada. And finally, our infrastructure concession investment group continue to pursue many opportunities as the Canadian P3 market continue to be very active. This group continue to look at many investment opportunities in Canada, particularly in Ontario. As mentioned previously, we are pleased to have completed the financial closure and the official signing of a 34-year partnership agreement between the McGill University Health Centers and the McGill Health Infrastructure Group. This is the largest P3 hospital in Canada. On the other hand, we are disappointed by the outcome of the Toronto Air Rail Link project. Given the state of the financial market over the past few years, lenders, both in Canada and elsewhere, are reluctant to lend money for full revenue risk projects. As a result, an agreement that met our own standards of risk tolerance could not be reached with interested lender. Both SNC-Lavalin and the province of Ontario are disappointed that it could not go forward as originally planned, but we will work together to ensure that Metrolinx has all the support it needs to deliver the project on time. In conclusion, we are very pleased with our result for the first half of the year. In what is still a challenging market, our net income increased, our cash position remains solid, and our backlog is increasing. Based on these good results, we now expect our 2010 net incomes to be higher than 2009. I will now turn the conference over to Gilles Laramie to review our financial results. Gilles?
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon. Turning to slide 10, looking at the consolidated income statement summary. We look in the second quarter, as mentioned by Pierre, net income for the second quarter at $97.7 million compared to $80 million. If we consider the net income excluding ICI, it was lower at $73 million compared to $80 million in 2009. However, our ICI activities were much higher at $24.7 million compared to $0.4 million in 2009. And this net income increase from the ICI is mainly due to the better performance from AltaLink, Highway 407, and the Adjaret investment, which owns and operates a thermal power plant in Algeria, which started operation in the second half of 2009, so therefore not impacting the results for the second quarter of 2009. Looking at the revenue, as mentioned by Pierre, we were lower in the second quarter. However, better than the first quarter of 2010. So both the services and our packages activities generated more revenue for services and packages, and certainly a good sign for quarters to come. On the gross margin, looking in a quarter at $321 million compared to $261 million, the major increase relates to the high gross margin from our ICI's activity. Excluding ICI, the gross margin for a quarter was about the same. When we make the comparison of about same margin but lower revenue, mainly Margin was higher mainly due to higher profitability in the packages activities mainly. Selling and general administrative expenses for the quarter were higher, mainly due to higher proposal costs, and same reason when we look at the results over a six-month period. Interest and capital tax from ICI was higher, and that is mainly due that in the second quarter of 2009, there was about $10 million of interest revenue that related to temporary financing offered to Astoria 2 from SNC-Lavalin. From other activities, the interest was also higher in the quarter, mainly due to the $250 million debenture that we issued at the beginning of July 2009, so therefore affecting the second quarter of 2010 and not affecting 2009. On a year-to-date basis, we're behind on the net income excluding ICI at $136 million compared to $153 million. And we are forecasting that that level to be turning side and to be higher by year-end on a 12-month basis. So for the next 6 months, we think that the net income excluding ICI will be higher than 2009. Turning to slide number 11, looking at the performance by our operating segment, first one is infrastructure and environment. You may recall that in our MD&A, when we published our annual report, we were expecting the revenue for infrastructure and environment to be better. As it stands after 6 months, we are lower than 2009, but we're expecting these revenue to be still higher on a full year basis. So therefore, more activities to come, in particular in the package business in the upcoming 6 months. On the other side, however, the operating income over the revenue stands at 13%, and certainly we feel that that performance is a very good performance, and it's due from several favorable performance from our project as they are progressing, and we're very proud of the performance of that unit. We were not expecting that much of a performance when we started 2010, and it's certainly happy of this performance. On the chemical and petroleum side, we were expecting higher revenue. It's slightly higher from $406 million to $432 million. But we are foreseeing or forecasting that in the next 6 months, the difference between 2009 and 2010 should be wider. And also, as we encounter the loss in 2009, we're expecting that the operating income to be better in the upcoming period. The power sector generated very good results despite lower revenue of $41 million of operating income compared to $40 million. So better gross margin to revenue, and we're very happy with the performance. We were expecting both the lower revenue and lower operating income, but we are performing better on the margin side and therefore meeting the same level than 2009. As mentioned by Pierre earlier, we will include in our third quarter $20 million of operating income generated from the disposal of assets from our ECS activities. Mining metallurgy, lower performance, low in operating income, and as well lower revenue. We were expecting a performance to be about in line for the full year. We're still encouraged that it may happen, and not necessarily on the revenue side, but on the profitability side, and certainly our list of prospects for the mining metallurgy looks good and is certainly encouraging for the year to come. Other industry being at $10.2 million compared to $19.5 million, lower revenue explaining the performance being lower for the first 6 months of 2010. Operation and maintenance slightly lower revenue, but better gross margin to revenue, which resulted in a better operating income. And as I mentioned earlier, our infrastructure concession investment performing much better in the first 6 months in 2009. Turning to slide number 12, our balance sheet continues to be one of our strengths, and we do have a cash and cash equivalent at $1.1 billion, with a free old cash of $800 million at the end of June of 2010. The rest of our balance sheet, nothing really changed, and it's a continuation of our commitment to continue to have a very strong balance sheet. Turning to slide number 13, our revenue backlogs by activities. Overall, as mentioned by Pierre, $11.4 billion at the end of June, which was about the same than March, but higher than December 2009. The services backlog, we see a pickup compared to March, which is a definitive good sign, and a slight increase compared to December. But most noticeable, as we mentioned, we stand at $4.3 billion at the end of June for backlog, and we were at $4.5 at the end of March. But the $4.4 at the end of June does not take into account the $1.6 billion from packages, a contract to design and build the facility of the McGill University Health Center. If that be considered, the package backlog is increased by 33%. Operation maintenance is about in line with March, but higher than December 2009, and the ICI backlog is about in line. Looking at the backlog by our segment, nothing I would say noticeable, but for the continuation, as mentioned by Pierre, about our signing in the infrastructure and environment segment, and also in our power segment. So, good sign for those two. And we must say that on the mining metallurgy, we're seeing good prospects as well as our chemical petroleum. Turning to slide number 15, we continue to perform very well compared to our peer and our consistent performance on return on equity. And certainly our P, when we consider that P, of $9.85 for the Highway 407, for our share in Highway 407, and also considering our $800 million of free old cash, provides us a PE of 13.5, below many of our competitors as well. So this concludes my section of the presentation, and we now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Tupholme with TD Securities. Your line is open.
Thank you. Gilles, you were very clear that you expect net income, excluding ICI, to be up on a full-year basis in 2010 versus 2009. And I'm just wondering, does that, when you say that, are you excluding the benefit of the gain on the sale of the assets that you sold to GE earlier this week?
I'm not excluding that. Certainly, it's part of our activities, but certainly we are very positive of that growth, but that growth also includes that gain.
Okay. And then you've talked about the fact that you're nearing completion on a number of large packages projects, and particularly, I guess, in I&E, that has been a beneficial trend for you in terms of the operating income margins. Just wondering if, as we move towards the back half of the year and you start to work more on newer projects that are just ramping up, if we can expect to see some margin contraction.
I think, when we look back and what we stated in 2009 in our MD&A, we were expecting contraction. We've been delivering on the completion. There's still some to be complete and with also some change order potential. So right now our forecast reflects that it's going to be lower, a contraction. However, there is certain potential upside to that effect. And so, you know, we've been wrong in the first 6 months. Hopefully we'll be wrong again. But I think I touch wood, but we're having a good good load of very good projects. But you're right, in for sure going to further down, it's going to be the new project, and the operating income, it's not sustainable at for infrastructure and development at 13%.
And does the same hold true for some of the other segments as well?
Certainly we would like to see chemical petroleum to be higher than it is right now. I think the power, you know, I think it's at 12%. It may, on a year-to-date basis, may be high a bit, but certainly we're ramping up the service side on the power, and therefore we, you know, I think it's going to go down, but certainly it's going good nonetheless. Mining metallurgy, we could have some surprises there. There is contract that are potential for bonuses, and we could see a potential for higher operating income. As you know, this one is almost all services activities and in theory should attract a better margin. So another industry being a smaller component, I think the 8% is maybe a bit low, but should be above that.
Okay, thank you for the color. I'll get back in the queue.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Link with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Yuri.
Just to go back on the guidance again, what's changed since last quarter to get you comfortable enough to guide for better net income excluding ICI? Because if I recall, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it was explicitly stated that your guidance was excluding ICI last quarter. So you're, again, pretty clear that it was, and just wondering what's different, the differences now versus then.
Yeah, I think we gave a bit more color this quarter. We feel after 6 months and, you know, the signing of a contract and our performance, certainly we feel more comfortable as we are looking ahead. On the ICI, however, you know, the performance we got in the first 6 months, I don't know if that could be repeated at that same level. But certainly we feel much more comfortable to be able to beat what we've done in 2009 on an excluding ICI. But the main importance for us and the way you need to look at us, our projection is that we've stated is the total net income, and certainly what we're saying in the press release and MD&A, we're foreseeing for the full year to have a better net income than 2009.
Okay, so it's going to be a good back half because you're running about 11% below last year ex-ICI. So how do we get there? I guess higher revenue because of the packages and I guess some pretty solid gross margins?
Higher revenue, I think consideration of a good margin as, you know, our challenging project. We have a very good basis for good project, and also the fact that the gain on sale of the ACS asset also will contribute.
And what if we exclude that?
We won't come and say necessarily, but we are optimistic that being set aside.
Gotcha. Switching gears, SNC is actively bidding as we speak on a number of projects in the Middle East. Currently, South Korean, Chinese contractors are winning a disproportionate share of the work. is there still a role for S&C to play in that area? Do you think these rivals might be full now or at capacity after winning about 40% of the bids over the last 12 months and possibly opening the door for you and some of your Western world competitors?
Yuri, it's Pierre. I will answer absolutely yes. If it was not the case, you know, we would not be bidding as we are bidding right now many projects. We believe there is more than enough for everybody in Middle East and in particular in Saudi Arabia. There is also possibilities to join force with Korean sometime when we believe that's the right strategy to win project as well. So I would say for a major project in that part of the world in the oil and gas sector, we have certainly an important role to play. We are bidding on many packages. We have been invited. There is strong competition, but at the same time, I believe we are able to gain our share, as demonstrated by the district cooling contract. You know, we are bidding these things and we are able to win these jobs. So having the expertise, having the local presence, I've been there for a long time, and having a reputation, which is without doubt, you know, a great one, give us certainly good hope for the futures and our role in that region. I have no doubt that we'll be there for a long time.
Okay, but do you get the sense that they're the South Korean and Chinese competitors are kind of reaching capacity, or do they still have the ability to take on a lot more work?
Well, I feel they're reaching capacity, and one of the reasons I mentioned it is they are now looking at making GV, benefiting for their low-cost fabrication, but at the same time, you know, using the resources elsewhere for engineering and management. So when you do see that, you can conclude the same.
Okay. Thanks. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Frédéric Bastien with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just wondering if there were fundamental changes behind the step changes in profitability at AltaLink and 407, and whether you expect or you can expect these improved profitability levels to be sustained going forward.
First, if we start with AltaLink, for sure the capital base is increasing, and as there is greater amount of capital base, there is more profitability related to that as we are investing more. On the other hand, there was some regulatory decision that took place which contributed in the performance in the first 6 months, and that I've been already taking into account. So in the next 6 months on the AltaLink basis, the performance should not be as big, but will be bigger because of the higher level of capital that are being deployed right now. On the Highway 407 performance, on a year-to-date, the revenue went up by about 12%. And certainly, while the operating expenses remain at the same level, that really goes down to the bottom line. So there is only one factor on the Highway 407 that is always challenging, is the interest related to inflation, and that has many fluctuations, and therefore the guidance on that is more difficult. But the intrinsic performance of Highway 407 is a better one when we consider it has been more difficult as the recession was much higher. The recession was there in 2009, and looking in 2010, the traffic is back, and certainly the revenue are higher, as I mentioned.
Okay. Question is, I've got the packages backlog has gone from 1.4 billion to just under 1.2 billion on the chemicals and petroleum side, yet you've only recorded $150 million in revenue. That suggests that some contracts might have been canceled. Is that correct, or is this a wrong calculation on my part?
I've not done the calculation. I'll check on that. There were no cancellation of projects. would need to redo maybe. During the call, there will be another question that will be addressed to Pierre, and I'll have a chance to look into that. But to my knowledge, absolutely no cancellation of contract.
No, I will confirm the same. There is absolutely no cancellations anywhere, so we'll check what you referred to.
Oh, I can double-check myself. wondering, the gross margin was better year-over-year for the first half of the year. Is it consistent within the services and also the packages operations?
Mainly from the packages operation, because on the service side, the margin has been about the same, but the revenue are lower. But on the package side, we had the better performance on the gross margin to revenue basis.
But you have been able to maintain your margins on the services side?
Yeah. Yes, we have.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Anthony Zika with Scotia Capital. Your line is open.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Don.
Pierre, you mentioned that you'd be interested in AECL. What are some of the key factors that will make you go ahead with a bid? What are you looking for?
Well, certainly, first of all, the bids, you know, has been in, so that's not something which is unknown. But we are waiting for future development. The interesting part of it is certainly the service side and the ongoing business, the service side and the refurbishment, based on the cost plus type of approach. So this is what I'm looking at. Nuclear is certainly as future in Canada and as well internationally. Service and revamping will continue to happen. There is many old reactors out there who need to be revamped. So this is a base load business, which is a very, very interesting. And of course, upside, it would be the greenfield reactors. If they are built, and if they are built with Canadian technology, it would be even better. But without being Canadian technology, I think a good engineering nuclear specialist company in Canada has certainly futures both in Canada and internationally.
And when can we expect some news to come out?
Well, I'm not controlling the government agenda, Tony. So I will not be saying. But what I'm telling you is the bid is in. Discussions are ongoing. Cannot take another year. You know, we are talking here a month and not many months.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Sarah O'Brien with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, guys.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Can you talk a little bit about backlog growth? I guess I was a little surprised it didn't pick up a little bit more in the packages in Q2. In Q3, do you expect that the $1.6 billion will be kind of a complete add-on, and can you see further growth in the packages backlog before year-end?
It will be an add-on. The contract is signed. And in terms of projecting backlog, is not something we've never really done. We are there endeavor to always increase it, and certainly based on the prospect in front of us, we are encouraged. But the timing from quarter to quarter is not something we will forecast, and we never forecasted the backlog as such. But certainly, it looks good to say for September backlog to be higher.
Okay. And maybe can you just comment about services backlog growth and where you're seeing opportunities there? It sounds like you're doing some package bidding in chemicals and petroleum. Do you see that going back to kind of service opportunities in the near term?
I will answer on that one, Sarah. I think in the oil and gas sector right now, because of the market, the opportunities are much bigger in packages. So I don't expect a huge move or increase on that side. I think we have been very, very good at renewing the existing backlog on the service. To grow it in the CMP would be presumptuous at this time. I favor and I see more packages. But on the other one, you know, which is mining and metals, which is infrastructures and environment, which is also power. In that case, you know, we see suddenly opportunities to increase more on the service side the backlog.
Okay, great. And then just wondered, is there anything in particular with the concession revenues, like from SKH, is that material? Should we be considering a material amount for that going forward?
Certainly, it's a material amount. It's an investment we've made of about, $100 million. And, there is a good return that we're having on it, like any other concession. It's, we're seeking at getting a return, a fair return.
Okay, so that's something that's, there was nothing unusual in the quarter from that.
No, however, the comparison with last year, Adjaret was not in operation in the second quarter, in the first 6 months of 2009. So for sure, we look at a better performance in 2010.
Okay, and maybe, Pierre, can you talk a little bit about, in the concessions, monetizing some of them now, where you're leaning in terms of maybe, taking some of the value that's being shown on these concessions if they're now mature and there's no more sort of significant engineering coming out of those projects?
Well, I said that, and we as a company always have that, objective at one point of time. To be more specific at this time, there's nothing new. I cannot forecast or declare anything special at this point of time. It's business as usual. When we see opportunities, we will grab it. At this point of time, I cannot say there is something more than I already said before. Gilles, you want to add anything on that one?
I think it's fundamental that to be qualified on P3's project, that we have the roadmap of having some project behind us. In that sense, we're there for the long term, and thinking of buying and selling is something that, could be detrimental for bidding future P3 project. So for sure, it's something that we are also making a conscientious decision if we're looking at selling a concession.
Yep.
And the decision maker are taking SNC-Lavalin, because they believe we'll be there for the next 30 years or 40 years. And in that sense, we have a long-term view. That being said, if a price comes and it's something that we cannot refuse, something else. But to say we are for a strategic type of concession looking for selling, not really.
On the other hand, I must say I'm very pleased with the result we are seeing from the ICI revenue and profit. So that reflects really, we are getting a more maturity on our concessions, and they are now producing a result. We have been investing for many, many years, and now we are starting to have, a significant portfolio, and many of them are now becoming more mature, and you can see the impact on the bottom line. It's quite impressive as an impact.
And what's good also is that there is two new concessions that will eventually come to profit, not in the 2010, because being McGill and Stony Trail, but that is also encouraging, and we are bidding quite a few, and hopefully we'll be able to win some more. If it's not in 2010, it'll be in 2011.
Okay, great. And then maybe just a last one on the P3s. Do you think the next couple of years look like the same kind of opportunities in terms of projects you can bid on, or is 2010 kind of a peak year for that?
I would say, Sarah, it's not a peak. We will continue to see more. The need, and we are also, by the way, we are also expanding our own reach in terms of geography. So if it's maybe a small decline here, could by just moving internationally a little bit more, we can increase it easily. So I can just watch right now what's happening in the U.S. The U.S. has never been a P3 market. Now they are becoming to be a P3 market. And you can see more and more, you know, a contract or prospect coming with that model. It's a simple reason. The government doesn't want to finance themselves, and the U.S. is not in a great shape, but European are not. Canadian are in better shape, but they have been adopting the P3. So if you ask me if I see a peak, no. If I see a peak in one region, maybe for the short term, but overall for S&C Lavalin, you know, we are far from a peak.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Going back.
Go ahead.
Gilles?
Yeah, going back to a question that Frédéric Bastien asked us about if there was cancellation of project, we check, and in fact, the conclusion that Frédéric was making is could have been proper, and it's certainly a good question, very excellent question. Looking into our file, it's a reclass between that was made in terms of contingency that was reducing revenue, and therefore we reduce our revenue, but it's not a question of cancellation of project.
Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Caron with National Bank Financial. Your line is open.
Actually, most of my questions have been answered. I was actually going to ask if the, because I did notice a small change as well in the first quarter in the packages backlog for chemicals and petroleum, and then the second quarter was a bit more major than what happened in the first, but seems that you just gave us the answer. So thank you, Gilles.
You're welcome.
Welcome, Benoit.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Claude Proulx with BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Claude.
Just one question. If you can talk a little bit about acquisition. I mean, I don't think you've been hiding the fact that you want to make to be more active, I guess, than you were in the past. So can you talk about anything that we could see in the near to medium term? You know, what's preventing deal from, you know, happening, so on?
Claude, that is the deal happening. In fact, we still do acquisitions, medium size, small size, quite regularly. We have done another one yesterday in France. Nothing to announce, but it's certainly another acquisition to position better us in that market. So we are continuing to grow and making acquisitions on a regular basis. If you ask me now if there is anything more than that, well, we are open, and we are certainly considering others, you know, sectors or other countries, other acquisitions. But if you ask me if there is anything of super size, no, but could be significant for the company in the future, yes. So it's certainly a balance. Why we are cautious, it's certainly a question of timing and also a question of synergy with the company. We are very, very selective in terms of cultures, in terms of risk, and also in terms of a synergy and overlap between the two organizations. We are already quite diversified and extend worldwide, so to find the right one takes some time, a little bit more time. But we are, at any time, we are considering many, many opportunities, and that will come to result certainly during the years, but also in 2011 as well. So it's business as usual. But I must say there is good opportunities we are considering right now.
And when you talk about timing, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by timing, at least?
Well, timing. I mean, is it because in the area where you're thinking of going, the market is depressed, for instance, so you feel you better wait, or is it something like that? Because you mentioned timing as an issue.
Yeah, it's always a question of timing for us and timing for the sellers. So what I mean by this, it's sometimes a company is ready to sell and we are not ready to buy, or somebody is not ready to sell and we're willing to buy. buy him. So he's ready to get the people, the sellers and the buyers, you know, on the same wavelength and seek, you know, the benefits for them to sell. So, you know, the big motivators for sellers is really to think they have done what they could do, and they need help. They need the support of bigger organizations to continue to grow. They are ready for retired. They need to cash out. There is many reasons for somebody to join. Or there is a new market, new opportunities, and to grab it, you know, they need support. So this is what I mean by timing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Link with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Back for seconds. Question on SG&A. It jumped about 11% quarter over quarter. How can we look at that going forward? Did this quarter include more proposal costs or something that would cause it to jump like that?
Yeah, it's mainly because of proposal costs, as we are seeing more activities and we're doing so. I think we are very careful in monitoring our SG&A, but I think there could be a possibility that you'll see that continuation of trend compared to 2009.
Yeah.
We're bidding more.
If I may add on that one, it's bidding more, but bidding jobs which are more expensive. When you bid P3, they are expensive to bid. They are not a simple bid. They are very, very complex, and it had, you know, financings, technicals, and commercials, and what else. So it's only a reflect of the complexity of the bid we are also making.
Okay. And on the oil sands, maybe some color on what your clients are saying there. Oil prices are obviously strong, construction costs are down, but you know, I think things are percolating there, but nothing really announced other than Curl. What are the clients saying there, and what's your outlook?
Well, right now we are bidding a major project, and I guess it's known that Sunrise is suddenly OSCE is looking for Sunrise, and this is something we have been doing the feed for quite a lot of time, and we have been working with Sunrise for many, many times. So just that one, let's say, it's only a possibilities. Imperial is also looking at more. So there's suddenly a brighter sky in front of us than it was before. We see now real requests for proposals for real projects coming to us right now.
Do you think we could hear something before the end of the year?
In the case of Sunrise, certainly yes. Of course, you know, I cannot also preclude, you know, the decision of OSCE board after the bids are in. But certainly yes, there is certainly possibility for this second quarter of second half of 2010.
Okay, thanks,
okay.
Guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Tupholm with TD Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks. Just two quick follow-ups. In the mining or the M&M segment, margins there seem to be improving on a sequential basis, but still seem a little bit lower than they've historically been. I'm wondering if that's partly a function of some of the issues you saw in Q4 and Q1 lingering.
Well, it's certainly we said that before. There was a project in M&M who carry a lower margin than usual. That project is over. Suddenly, that has been helping the average margin on M&M to be better. It's still a tough market, but the pressure on the margin is certainly there. We are not back, you know, to what it was in 2008. Let's say it's still a competitive market, but certainly we have seen the end of some difficult one.
Okay, and then Gilles, I apologize if you covered this off in your prepared remarks, but in the power segment, very strong margins this quarter. I'm wondering if there's any additional color there.
No, I think we are doing good mix of service and packages, and for sure there is good results on certain packages project. But, you know, and the margin are also good on the service side. So there's nothing really that stands out. However, for sure, it's a high-level performance. But in a given, you know, just analyzing one given quarter, it's a bit difficult. But like I mentioned before, even at 12% on the year-to-date, it's a very good performance. So.
So there's no favorable cost reforecast going through that segment. It's just a function of mix and...
Yeah, mix and a good performance of Colgate for sure.
I would say it's really a quality in the delivery. I mean, there is a good delivery here and a good project, and it's well delivered, and I think it's produced a good result. That will be the reason.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Maxim Sichev with NCP Northland Capital Partners. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Actually, I was wondering if you could comment a bit on the multiples for M&A transactions right now. Do you feel that sort of the gap that you talked about in terms of you know, sellers' expectations and buyers' willing, you know, how much they were willing to pay, has that gap closed a bit?
I think the multiple is not, you know, is not a real change if you compare to a year, maybe seven, eight months from now. But the price are maybe starting to increase, but, you know, it's still the multiple paid are not really changing.
Okay, so you don't feel that you kind of missed a distressed boat on acquisitions?
No, not at all.
And I was also wondering if you can maybe remind us what your accretion criteria are for potential acquisition.
All right, for sure, we are looking at accretion to the earnings per share. This is first and foremost, but not foremost, because the most important is strategically it needs to be a good acquisition. And for sure, also, the internal rate of return needs to be in line with what we are expecting. So we have various elements that we look when we're sizing a price of a potential transaction. But for sure, we look at to be accretive to our earnings per share.
And can you tell me, I guess, the timing for the accretion? How fast should the acquisition become accretive?
Usually, there's the first year, there's some time because of integration costs could be difficult, but after that, we look at being accretive right away.
Okay.
And that's what we experienced in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maxim.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to our presenters.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's conference call. We hope you'll join us for next quarter's conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.